Hi, this is Eva.
And this is Juliana, and this is our story of queering space in Berlin.
Exactly. So, should I start?
Yeah, you could start. You could start.
Okay. So the story takes place in a lush forest.
Mm-hmm.
Just outside of Berlin in Brandenburg, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we found ourselves there because of this illegal party that was happening during the Corona summer, this past summer.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an illegal rave that got raided by the cops around, what time was it? 1 a.m.?
Yeah, around 1. Around 1.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then...
Which wasn't that long after we got there in the first place.
Exactly. And, but a few clusters of people decided to stay and enjoy the warm summer night. It was a beautiful night. And we also decided to stay and enjoy the forest.
Period. And so we are at a party. You know, it wasn't exactly, you know, maybe not the party that fit all of our tastes, but it's Corona, you know. Options are limited, and this party, like most parties during this time, most of the illegal parties, was just advertised by a flyer or coordinates via Telegram groups. Like, it's very open. The flyer was just like, come, you know, music, whatever, like, drinks. Like, it was very just, like, friendly invitation on the flyer.
Exactly, and the setup was really
nice. The setup seemed nice. We were in the forest. There were some lights. There were obviously some crafty people that did some basic woodwork. It, you know, there were
exactly
big sheets with kind of psychedelic posters. Seems like a good time.
Exactly.
And so
we're deep in the forest.
We're deep in the forest. And so the police, they come, they shut it down. We decide to stay just because it's nice outside. And it turns into a Bluetooth party.
Exactly. People have their own JBLs or
yes,
personal JBLs.
And it kind of turns into a kind of barter society, impromptu barter society where, you know, someone has alcohol, someone else wants ecstasy. So everyone is trading things, you know, it's starting to turn into a vibe. And so we wanted to play music. We wanted to play our music because we had music that we thought would be really cute for the party. And I think we had drugs that other people wanted. So there's, again, more bartering is happening. And we're like, okay, well, you have the Bluetooth speaker. Like, maybe if you let us play the music, like, we can give you some drugs, whatever, whatever, whatever. It's cute.
Mm-hmm. And then the sun starts coming up. I mean, it's still, like, very early in the morning. It's, like, 5 a.m. in the morning. We're having a good time.
Maybe even 4, because it's
maybe
summer.
Even 4, mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, we can, you know, we start seeing the vast...
beautiful forest.
Vast, beautiful forest, and we're having a great time, and we're like 10 people at that point in that specific location, because the location is pretty big, so there's a few different groups of people. Not everyone is dancing. It's just, at that point, I think it was just our group of people that was 5 people, and then maybe a couple more, the girl that supplied the Bluetooth speaker and some other people, and we were just vibing and having a good time.
Yeah, yeah. And so there's a group of us. It's like Eva, me, Sam, Charlie, and Roham. And we're all dancing with a few people from the group.
Exactly.
There's some white dreads in the group, so noted. But everyone is having a really good time. Everyone is having a really good time,
and it seems very chill.
Yeah,
very
slash we're literally in a forest.
We're literally in a forest in the middle of nowhere. Literally,
there's not been a single conflict. There's not been at least a conflict that has broken into something palpable and noticeable. Everyone is vibing. Everyone is chilling. You're either dancing around a Bluetooth speaker in a very communal, fun way, or people are sitting down chatting. It's all very,
exactly,
seems very friendly, and it's in a forest. So, Roham is dancing.
Do you want to give, like, more information on Roham? Like,
so Roham, so, well, I guess we'll give the information that's, so Roham is in our group. Me, Juliana speaking, and Roham are the only people of color in the group. I am a Black American. Roham is Iranian. And we both are very visibly different from everyone else in the space. Everyone else in the space is white. We are the only two people that visibly render as obviously not white. And which isn't to say there weren't other non-white people there, but in terms of who's giving that visually, we were carrying that role. And so we're all dancing, having a great time. It's summer, so we're all in very minimal dress. I think I was wearing a short skirt and like a kind of like busty tank top. Everyone, Roham has his shirt off, and he's going between just like venturing out into the forest and coming back and dancing with the group. We're all having a good time again.
We're all having a good time. Very chill.
Then, as we're dancing, a German white woman walks up to Roham. We couldn't exactly make out what's happening at first, but it was very clear that some sort of issue was being addressed, or there was some sort of tension. There was a tension that was palpable in the conversation that the two of them were having. And there seemed to be confusion, but we all immediately, within maybe a minute, were like, oh, what's going on? And so we turn our attention, and she is telling Roham
that it's not okay for him to be dancing with his shirt off as, you know, a man,
or as what she assumes to be a man, because she didn't ask Roham how he identified. So at this point, there's a lot of assumptions being made, but whatever. And so she has, as a result of that, since he should not have his shirt off, because him dancing with his shirt off is an exploitation of his male privilege, and that he has to put a shirt on. Because
he has to show his solidarity.
To show his solidarity with the space, although that rationalization came a little later. They essentially in order to make up for the gender, create gender balance or gender parity in how people are allowed to express themselves, he should put his shirt on because, as they were saying, women are not allowed to have their shirts off because in women social are situations, sexualized. So women can't do that. And there's no way for women to escape the draconian prison of sexualization. So Roham had to put his shirt on.
To
show his solidarity. At least that's the explanation at this point. And so we all kind of come in. We're like, wait, what's going on? We're like, why does he have to put his shirt on? And they provide this explanation. Well, women can't take our shirts off. And all of us immediately thought, well, why can't we take our shirt off? I take my shirt off quite often.
Especially in Berlin. We're talking about Berlin, which is one of the most liberal places in terms of expression in the club and on the dance floor and generally.
And we're literally in a forest.
And we're literally in the forest.
This is like not even a private space.
We could be sunbathing later on nude as a lot of German people do in parks and lakes in the city.
Right.
So for us,
and we're in a forest. Like it's no one's space to stake a claim to how someone expresses their body, insofar as it's not encroaching or violating anyone's basic autonomy or scent freedom.
Exactly.
Freedom of movement, freedom of expression, freedom of safety, whatever. Or freedom of safety, that's not an expression, but you know what I mean. And so we all start arguing that. Well, that's interesting because there are three women here who don't feel like, I don't feel like it's impossible for me to take my shirt off. I would take my shirt off right now, actually. I would do that. In fact, why haven't I taken my shirt off? And so we're having a discussion because it seems really bizarre and unfair. It also seems really intense for someone to be so intense about... It seems bizarre for someone to be so intense about this gender performance when this is a white woman with dreadlocks telling a brown man what to do with his body.
Exactly.
Which, in and of itself, to me, if someone seems to be so politically aware, they would try and question that. But of course, again, we're in Germany, so dab. And so then, as we are having this kind of like heated discussion about why we don't think Roham should have to put his shirt on, the backup comes, and there's another German girl with dreads that comes over, and now she is saying, not only does Roham need to put his shirt on as an act of gender parity and/or solidarity, but that his body is triggering to sexual assault victims, and that him having his shirt off is essentially a sexual assault trigger, and shirtless Roham is synonymous with sexual assault. And we were like, this is really, this is actually out of hand. Like, you as a white woman going and telling a brown woman, not only presuming how Roham identifies, but then let's just jump to the conclusion that we can all just like, okay, whatever. Roham identifies as a man. Moving to the next step. Now saying that his body is tantamount to sexual assault when he is the only brown
person at the party.
Only brown person, one of two non-white people in the entire space. And then they said that he has to do it in solidarity. The second person said, you must put your shirt on in solidarity with people who have breasts because breasts cannot be sexualized. And at this point, it was really intense. They refused to leave. When we asked, well, you're placing this all on a hypothetical, like, no one here seems to be being triggered. Exactly. So why? And even then, he doesn't bear responsibility for what everyone else has experienced through their life, period. That's just not how that works. It's also like, you don't get to pick and choose how and when you apply your political, your political critic, like critical self-awareness, because you all are white people not only policing what brown people do with their bodies, literally in a forest, but you are white people who are appropriating like black originated hairstyles to perform a lefty, hippie, crunchy
solidarity aesthetic. Solidarity.
Speaking aesthetic. Of solidarity, maybe you should cut your hair off. But but really what felt so strange was, one, the assumption, just like assuming things about people's bodies based on how they looked. You know what I mean? Never asking Roham, how do you identify? Just assuming.
Or starting a conversation to begin with.
Right. Initiating a conversation.
Yeah, without having an undertone or like some sort of like nature of attack towards this person. Because it was literally a verbal attack.
Right.
At that point.
And then also telling this person that their body, allowing no room for meaning and no room for self-determination in relation to what you choose to do with your body, policing what bodies mean, setting set, really rigid, violent definitions on non-white bodies. There was a lot of things going on. And also really limiting and telling us what we could do with our bodies and what the limits were, saying you're not free, you don't get to be free, you don't get to have your tits out and feel free, because that's not possible. Literally prescribing what is and is not possible for sexualized body parts. And so after that...
But they're also using an idea said by patriarchy. They're using that in a space that they should actually be promoting a very different lifestyle and way of expression. They're actually... You know, they're doing exactly what they don't want other people to do to them.
Right. Right. Well, you would think.
You know, which for me was the biggest surprise. If you're going to bring this to the table, you're assuming that you are literally abiding to all these rules that are set by a patriarchal, like, society and community, you know? Like, so for me, it was,
And it was shocking. And so we kind of came to the conclusion that
we had to.
It's time to pull the tits out. Exactly. That's the only thing. Like, free the only nipple. Thing you can't, at this point, language is trying to prescribe a set, rigid reality on what people's bodies can or can't do. You can't really just respond to that with language. Obviously, just having a discussion isn't going to work here. We need to be the thing. And so we kind of went back and forth, like, is this the time? Do we do it? Do we not do it? And I remember, like, looking at Charlie and being like, okay, are we going to do it? Are we not going to do it? And then we pulled our tits out and took our tops off and danced there with our tits out and felt fab.
And it was great.
And the Germans with the white dreads discombobulated and kind of hated us. You could tell
you could see disgust in their face. They hated us. They could not believe that was happening.
And
it never crossed their mind, which is
the most insane thing. And so we've had tits out in solidarity with people who ostensibly don't have breasts. And we kind of took back whatever space and just made whatever our breasts are in this space, we're determining it right now. Slash, they're
exactly.
out. They're out.
Exactly, they're out. And there's no, the and you know, and if you would like to do that, you should be able to do that, especially in a forest, in nature.
Right, in the forest. Arguably one of the freest and queerest spaces with trees who are kind of queer icons by default. So
exactly.
Tits out.
Tits out.